Seaman and Shepard. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. We get a lot of people that are just tuning in and saying, hey, we missed the opening at 2 o'clock. Had one guy text in, said he literally set his alarm on his iPhone to make sure he did tune in at 2 o'clock. Wanted to hear all our reaction, everything that went on over the weekend with AB. I'm sure before we leave the airwaves, we'll get back into it again. We did a lot. If you missed it, you can go back to our website at 99.3ESPN.com or download our app for free, and you could dial it in there in the Seaman and Shepard podcast and listen to it at your leisure.
Yeah, it'll be up there in about 20 minutes. It'll be posted.
But again, my whole thing is it's very very short and sweet. I'll keep saying it for those because we get a lot of texts of what's Pete's reaction to AB. All I'm saying is I am expecting to be disappointed at some point. Could be tomorrow, could be next week, could be the day before the Super Bowl, could be something in between. But I expect him to disappoint me.
And we put it on our Twin Peaks
Twitter
poll.
I have no doubt that he will. I don't think Bill can harness this guy. I don't. It may seem okie-dokie, okie hunky-dory for the first few weeks, but in the end, he'll screw it up.
So do we have our two poll questions up from earlier?
Two.
What, how many do we have?
One.
I thought one was... is he still on the roster at the end of the year?
Oh, I didn't. Okay, I didn't put that one up. We do have one up. Did Antonio Brown orchestrate his way to New England from the beginning? 180 votes right now. 52% say no. 48% say yes.
Good poll. That's up to 186. By the way, the Patriots, it was 14.5. Then it was 17. Now the Patriots are favored by 18.
Oh, 18?
18.
You should have grabbed that at 14, people.
I said it when Craig walked in. Yeah. I looked at him. I go, it's only 14.5 right now. That number's got to go up.
I've never seen an NFL game over 20. Have you?
There was 21. I think 20 or 21. I remember Denver was favored by Philadelphia one time. Big 8. And the Patriots in 07 year were favored by Baltimore for 18. And Baltimore covered.
Wow.
I think the record might be 20-21.
That's a lot.
By somebody.
All right. Yeah. I think Chris is putting it up there now about AB being there. Yeah. Is that what you're doing? All right. Good. All right. So we'll have that. We are going to run down every – we spent a lot of time talking about AB, a lot of time talking about the Dolphins and going overboard on the tank mode.
I spent
a lot of time talking about the Buccaneers because I went there. This is Jameis Winston. I still have some thoughts on that. And we'll cover all the games this hour.
I think every game – was fascinating in its own way.
Absolutely.
And then we'll get to what you ate.
Except the Jets and the Bills. No, actually, it was good.
Oh, that was great.
I was teasing.
Look at the New York papers
today.
Oh.
All right, so did we get the second question up? Was that what you were doing over there?
Yes, that's what I was doing.
All right, now, because I never forget these things, are you ready for your Sports Center rundown? Here's Chris.
We'll get into all the pro stuff, but out of the college game, new AP Top 25, LSU jumps 2 spots to number 4 after their win in Austin. Texas falls 3 spots after losing to the Tigers. The Gators jump 2 spots, kind of like process elimination after Michigan falls 3 spots as well after their overtime victory over Army. And UCF up 1 spot to number 17. I will throw in this tidbit. The Kansas City Chiefs contemplating putting Tyreek Hill on injured reserve or just letting him sit out a few weeks.
Yeah.
Injury couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Did I say that out loud?
But if he goes on IR, then he can come back after week eight.
Yeah. After week eight, right.
All right.
And LSU, Tom, as a Bama fan, not looking forward to playing you guys this year.
No. That's the game.
I am.
And this was the year that CBS moved Bama LSU out of that 8 p.m. slot, moved it up to the 3:30 slot.
Can they change it?
Not anymore.
Why not?
I don't know.
Move it. All right. Final thoughts on the Buccaneers, and we'll move on to everybody else. So I told you, I went to the game up in Tampa yesterday, and I wanted to hang around. I wanted to hear Bruce Arians. And as we talked about, Jameis had 3 interceptions, 2 of them pick sixes. And I was surprised because Bruce Arians is kind of – I mean, sometimes he's a mild-mannered guy, but sometimes he can bite into you a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And I was surprised about his calm demeanor regarding Jameis Winston's performance yesterday. And he almost bent over backwards to...
enable him?
To blame other things on the play. Every turnover has a story, as they say. And at least that's what they say in Tampa. And that first pick six to Sherman... he said, well, the back coming out of the field wasn't in the right spot. And they said, probably. Now, the one thing he did criticize Jameis for, he says, you know, if you got a back coming out on that route, and you're covered by Sherman, you should probably use that as a learning experience to throw elsewhere. Should not throw it. And by the way, Sherman, I've seen that in person. Sherman gets away with a lot of stuff out there. His reputation helps him with the officials.
He did not yesterday, though. He got caught a couple of times.
Yeah, but he also had a pick six, and he was all over the place. And then, give you a perfect example. Second drive of the game. He absolutely mugs Evans. And they, no pass interference called. Bruce Arians throws the red flag out. And where there was not pass interference, there then was after review. So, I mean, we saw that in action. Second interception for Jameis Winston, I believe it was O.J. Howard. It did touch both of O.J.'s hands. I mean, that one I can't blame Jameis for.
Yep.
The third one, this is what surprised me the most, the pick six at the end of the game.
That was pathetic.
When it was still a one-score game. He, Arians said he was throwing it away. He said he was throwing it away.
How do you throw it away 4 feet to your left and kind of a dipping throw? That's not throwing the ball away means you throw it high, it is far, it has gone into the side.
He addressed that too. Because as you remember, Jameis winged one into the back of the end zone and was called for intentional grounding because he never got out of the pocket.
Yeah.
So with that on his mind, he's taught to throw the ball at the feet and live for another play, but he didn't throw it low enough. The guy scooped it up and ran it in. But every time, Bruce Arians had a reason for it. And my theory is, Bruce Arians knows, I mean, Blaine Gabbert was not active for the game. They got Ryan Griffin. That's it. I think he knows he's got to go the distance or close to the distance this year with this guy. He can't tank on him or he's too fragile or something. But Bruce Arians was very reserved in his criticism of Jameis yesterday.
Well, here's a little tidbit for you guys and girls. The Bucs win-loss record, and Jameis Winston starts based on how many picks he throws. When he throws 3+, they are 1-6. That's a 167.
Does anybody win with 3+?
Well, they've done it once.
Garoppolo did yesterday. We threw one pick, but they had three. But
he didn't look good either.
He looked terrible. So that with 3+, he's 1-6 with 167.
Defenses outscored offenses in that game. There were three pick sixes, weren't there?
There were also five touchdowns called back due to penalty.
Three by the San Francisco 49ers. So, all right, when he throws two picks, they're 2-7. That's a 222 winning percentage. When he throws one, they're 7-9 with a 439 winning percentage. And guess what their record is when he throws no picks?
Above 500?
11-12. 478.
He doesn't have a winning record under any scenario.
Under any circumstance.
He's 18-21 when he throws one or none, 3-13 when he throws two or more. That's a joke. Is that a joke?
But that gets to the point. I would have expected by the time you got to one or zero, there would have been a winning record. The Bucs haven't won in 10 years.
It's
been a bad team.
Winston's 15th career game with 3+ turnovers compared to only 11 with zero turnovers. That's terrible. Plus, they got damn lucky because he fumbled two other times that they recovered.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just terrible. It's just terrible football. And they keep enabling him.
I will say this: I think it was their first touchdown of the game got called back. There was a holding on the right tackle, which I thought was a bogus call. I think they got burned on that one.
Now, Green Falcons, right? He wasn't throwing the ball away. He was fading backwards, desperately trying to make a play, like he always says. Bad decision. That's exactly what it was.
I agree with you, but that's not what Arians said afterward in the game, which I think is newsworthy in and of itself.
I agree, and he's trying to protect his quarterback.
That's what I said.
Because Jameis Winston's ego is a little fractured right now. You got to be kidding me! I would. It was so bad to watch him.
Did you call him Jamie on purpose?
Yes.
Good.
Wow. All right,
Jamie Winston.
I'm fine with it. Before we
move on to the other games.
Mr. Fumble.
Do you all understand now why I am a press box snob? Why I would rather be in the press box than out in the fans sweating to death?
Amongst
drinking beer spilling people?
It's not fun sitting in a press box.
I had a glorious day.
Well, yeah, you had.
Did they have the Lions game on in the press box?
They had every game on in the press box.
So you didn't miss a snap.
No.
Well, no, actually, the way the setup is, when you're sitting in the seated press area, once the game starts, all the TV monitors in front of you go to the Bucs game.
Oh, okay.
All the widescreen TVs back behind me in the lounge eating area of the open press box, that's where all the games are on. So I actually couldn't watch quite a bit of the Lions. But I kept going back there to check. I'm like, up 18-0 or 7-24.
Oh, we're good. Got it in the bag.
We got this in the bag. not so much.
They just took their foot off the gas. But so you text me twice. One, you were having your pregame meal, which consisted of what, a ribeye?
No. Prime rib.
Prime rib.
Carving stations right carving off the stations, bone.
Which is fine.
Beautiful.
And then you
ended. And it was one of the best ones I ever had, to be honest with you.
Horseradish sauce?
There was some I opted not.
What?
No, it was so good, Chris, I didn't put anything on it.
No, yeah. You always need a little horsey sauce.
I agree with you. It was there for the taking. I didn't want it.
Just that good burn?
Yeah.
And then at halftime, you ended with Bananas Foster.
Bananas Foster for dessert at halftime. Air conditioned.
So Bananas Foster, did they flambé it too for you?
No.
You didn't go back and get any free food in the second half? Liar.
No, here's my routine.
Steak, hot dog, maybe.
Pre-game, I had the prime rib. But they had some Italian sausages sitting there, too. I grabbed one of those. Had a brownie and a chocolate peanut butter cookie as well.
Nice.
Like a peanut butter cookie with chocolate chips?
It was a chocolate chip cookie with a lot of peanut butter swirled in. It was the size of my head.
That's yummy. Great. You got a big head.
I do. Then in the second quarter, they got a help yourself pretzel machine. You know, the kind of thing. I got one of those giant. I love giant pretzels. And when I go to a game, when I'm among the people, my go to is to get a $9 pretzel and a $12 beer, and I'm good.
You're probably the guy, and I don't know this about you, so correct me if I'm wrong, please. Yeah. You probably take and like wipe a lot of the salt off the top.
No. I picked the salt. In fact, I asked for the ones with salt on them.
Oh,
I like to dive in there.
Good for you.
Now these were a little extra buttery. I had to dab it down a little bit, but yeah,
you
it was good.
Blotted your
just a little, just a little. Then I had the ice cream, the Foster bananas at halftime. Yeah, I felt kind of full. It's good for the day.
I wonder why.
Yeah. I mean, our friend Jenna Lane's over there eating a salad. I'm diving in with all this red meat.
Jenna's like 5'2".
She's 5'2", weighs about 65 pounds.
She's sweet. She loves Tim McGraw. Tim McGraw's in the front row. I saw her tweet.
What'd you think of Tim McGraw?
Before I tell you that.
See, before or after?
Both. He was both pregame and halftime.
Wow.
Yeah, came back. Now, I couldn't remember this for sure. Chris, is Tim McGraw the guy that you mentioned is your wife's hall pass?
No.
Okay, who? I know it was some country bumpkin.
George Strait.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
All right. He was.
And yes, everybody, I know he's very old, but she's into that sort of thing.
And yet, never mind. Tim McGraw was. I mean, it was
great
okay.
Great genre, softcore.
It looked like Tim McGraw had a jeans, a t-shirt without sleeves to show a few tats.
Yeah, that's what he does.
And a hat, cowboy hat, obviously.
Cowboy hat, probably black cowboy hat.
But he also had
belt buckle.
No, I wish he had a belt buckle. He had like a thing around his stomach and around his back, like he had a bad back. Like he looked like an old man out there.
Yeah, like a man girdle on.
A brace? It was a brace.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
It's all right.
But it was okay.
Okay. I like Tim McGraw. I've seen him in concert once. I like him.
Sound from outside's a little bit muted into the press box.
Right.
I mean, I can hear it, but
you could have gone and sat outside for me because I'm sure the press
too
box
hot.
Is
too
the press
hot.
Box parallel. Can't you like get out to maybe part of the stands if you need?
No,
to?
No, it's too high up.
Is it? There's no little
right.
Oh, huh.
You got an elevator down to the commoner level.
Yeah. Okay. Almighty.
But it was a good time had by me.
I don't have to do that anymore.
I rather enjoyed it. Here's my thing. I was planning on going to a Dolphins game pretty soon, but I don't know.
I might be going Sunday. I'm not sure yet. Friend of mine's
as sick. A fan or a member
fan,
of the press?
Fan. I'm not sitting in press boxes. I'm not getting paid to sit in press boxes, so I'm not going to do it. I don't care.
You're missing out.
I'd rather sit.
It's like a luxury suite with 300 of your closest friends.
Rather sit with my friends, sneak my own booze in, and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Not me. That's where you and I part ways.
So we'll see.
All right. Now.
Let's keep going on these games.
Let's see here. Titans-Browns.
Tighten up!
Titans look good. Browns didn't. And I thought the opposite was going to happen.
The Browns look good on the first series. All the way down the field.
Right until they missed the extra point.
And then they missed the extra point, and it never got better from there.
Still have a kicking problem.
Got to give Vrabel a lot of credit.
Yep.
And this game was a 15-13 game late in the third. Let's not forget that. It was 15-13 late in the third, and all of a sudden you look up, and it's
well, that's what happens when you throw three interceptions in the fourth quarter. Baker.
But they had, I thought it was pretty good
talking
scheme by Vrabel, what he came up with.
No, the offensive and defensive line for Tennessee dominated the game. Cam Wake, Still got it.
Yeah, he was fantastic yesterday.
What made Odell Beckham Jr. think he could wear a $300,000 watch during the game?
Booming.
Stupid. It should be. And I can't believe the refs.
I can't believe the refs didn't take it off.
Are so anal about guys putting their socks up so it reaches their pants. And the NFL is a stickler for pregame etiquette as far as what you wear. And I can't
not only
believe.
A stickler, there's one guy in every stadium that does a uniform check.
I know.
He goes around and he will tell the players, you will get fined if you go out in this, just so
and,
you know.
And I don't know. I know the NFL is speaking with OBJ today about it. It's not going to happen again. Plus, the NFL has its own watch sponsor anyway. So that'll be – but the main thing is – he could have hurt somebody. That thing was
It was hard. It was hard, sharp. Like you could smack somebody.
$350,000 watch. Why?
I thought it was an iWatch.
What's the purpose?
Or an Apple Watch?
It did not look like an. It was round. First of all,
it might be just a real fancy. But I just don't understand what you're trying to prove. What does that mean?
And it also matched the Browns' colors. I'm sure he was doing an endorsement kind of fashion deal. But you can't do that in the NFL.
He had 100 yards yesterday. He had one of 51 yards. So he had one reception for 51 and three other ones totaling 49. But again, the Cleveland Browns, this is what I talked about. And you look at their schedule, and we said this. It was a coin flip. We picked all our games a few months ago. We looked at the schedule, and I said, Tennessee is probably a coin flip, but we'll give them the win. Now look at the rest of the schedule.
Well, it sets up to where Monday night, a week from today, they take on the Jets. Is that in New York?
Yes.
That's a big game. I mean, those are two teams in the AFC that had playoff expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them's going to be 0-2.
Yeah. And the Browns and the Jets had the first ever Monday Night Football game back in the day.
Back in the day.
Oh, throwback.
Yep. But, the Jets have their – we'll get to the Jets, but they got their own issues.
All right,
Adam.
Next, one of the more surprising games for me anyway, Vikings 28, Falcons 12, it took the Falcons about 50 minutes of game time to score?
That was horrible.
Yeah, three and a half quarters.
Matty threw a pick at the end of the first half in the end zone.
What was wrong with him?
It was a Jameis Winston type interception where he was trying to get rid of the ball.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't throw it out of the end zone.
Not enough umph. But he was 33 of 46
yesterday.
Were
they distracted at all by Julio Jones, who, by the way, got paid
$66
million. I think he got 65 of it up front. Day one.
And I couldn't watch the full game, but they were going to it on red zone often. The Vikings defense returned to that 2017 defense that got them to the NFC Championship game.
Wow.
And they unleashed Dalvin Cook. Cook and then the backup running back who's a rookie, who I'm blanking on his name right now. The running game for Minnesota was fantastic. They were working the play action off of that, so you're not putting too much on Kirk Cousins. I mean, I don't want to say perfectly played game, but it was a well-executed game plan by the Vikings.
Not put too much on Kirk Cousins. I think he only completed 8 passes in the entire game. That's all he needed to do.
I know. And Alexander Mattison, he's from America's team, from Boise State. Oh, he had a good game, 9 rushes, 49. But I had Cook on several of my FanDuel teams, and I netted a whole dollar. I paid in 25-cent league, and I won a buck. I feel very happy about that.
Good.
But Matt Ryan did not play well at all.
All right, what did happen in the Bills-Jets game? That's probably the one game I saw the least of. Bills win 17-16. It did go down to the wire, obviously.
Picture the Miami Dolphins ahead by 2 touchdowns last couple of years, and then losing.
Oh, yeah, because the Bills had 2 fourth-quarter touchdowns,
also,
right?
Josh Allen woke up. He played excellent, especially in the fourth quarter where he was unbelievable. The Jets were up 16-0 in this game. 16-0 at home. And blew it.
Did Adam Gase have some poor play calling that cost him this?
Looking at as much of the game as I saw, it was more that defensively, I thought he coached again not to lose. We're up 16-0. Instead of putting the pedal to the metal, it's kind of backed off a little bit, killing clock, some different plays maybe I wouldn't necessarily have run, but it backfired on him, which is why I didn't care yesterday when Harbaugh fake punted when they were up 35-3. Because I don't care.
No.
You can't let yourself, it was early enough in the game. It's your job to stop me.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Everybody wants to talk about their favorite team. 239-337-ESPN. Joe in Naples. What's going on?
Hey, Joe.
What's going on, guys? Big fan of the show.
Thanks,
man. Thanks.
Hey, guys, I want to bring one thing up, and I hate to turn it on a negative, but I want to get your take on it because I didn't hear, and I hope your guy Stephen A. Smith is listening to this somewhere. But Antonio Brown, with all his antics, calls his GM a cracker.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
And apologizes, and he's going to play the next game, and we don't hear anything about it after that at all. Nothing. I mean, it's not said. And I think that's why ESPN, of being the sports leader, needs to take a little bit more to that, because can you imagine if Ben Roethlisberger had called Mike Tomlin the N-word or some other derogatory name for a black individual?
Yeah, I mean,
not only would he not be playing, he probably wouldn't be in the league anymore and apologizing for the next 6 months.
But look,
I just want to get your take on that, guys.
No, sure. You're right. And we spoke about this at length the other day on Thursday or Friday. I get the drama.
I think it was Friday.
I think it was Friday. But we spoke and we said the exact same thing. It's a double standard. Even Goff, who came on for Spain for Sarah, the other, said the same thing. I wouldn't use that word. I'm not comfortable using that word. And it's the same old thing. He called him a bitch, too. He said bitch and cracker,
right,
amongst other things.
Look, I don't.
Not to mention, tried to start a fight with him. He went after him and threatened him to hit him in the face.
I'd prefer not to do this show today. I think there's a lot of football that we can talk about.
Oh, yeah, but we did address it.
I mean, everybody does need to realize that there is a difference in the history of the N-word and the word cracker. Like, there is a clear difference in those two. Where I'm not excusing Antonio Brown for using or anything like that, but it's not an apples to apples comparison.
No, and I agree with that. I think the bigger issue I had initially was he threatened physical,
right,
and that's conduct detrimental. And I'm still not entirely sure, in some way, shape, or form, that the NFL still has the right to suspend him for that. Mm. They do.
They won't.
Probably not. Probably not.
All right, 239-337, ESPN is the number. Other game, Eagles 32-27, Carson Wentz looking up. Here's the thing, though.
Great, tale of two halves.
DeSean Jackson. Look, he didn't look like garbage when he was with the Bucs. And mm-hmm. it was because he had a quarterback that couldn't get him the ball when
Agreed.
He was fast and wide open. I said it when he was here.
Yep.
I'll say it when he's gone. He goes to Philadelphia
Fantastic
with an actual
game.
Quarterback.
154 yards.
Yep.
Two touchdowns. Had him on my FanDuel team.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Good for you, man.
He was my last guy I picked. He was my flex guy.
I'm telling you, Evans is running into the same thing with the Bucks right now. He got all of his money. He wants to be an elite receiver. He doesn't have a guy that can give him the ball. DeSean Jackson is the perfect example of why it is not working in Tampa Bay.
And even when the Eagles were down 17-0, you kind of I just had a feeling that they were going
to
come back.
Let's go to the phones, 239-337-ESPN. Jim and Lehigh wants to talk some Bucks. You're almost Shimmy to Shepherd. Go ahead.
What's up, Jim?
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
We need to trade or cut Jameis Winston immediately. I would trade him to the Dolphins for Ryan Fitzpatrick in a first round. something like that. He needs to be cut immediately.
Well, it's not going to happen.
They won't do it, but I think you'll get your wish at the end of the year.
Not now, anyway. Not now. And they get a short week before Carolina beats them on Thursday night. So I got no faith in this guy at all. I've tried to give him the benefit of the doubt and everything. I've had. After that, whatever that was in the fourth quarter was such a disgrace.
He's never been good, guys. Even on the national championship team in Florida State, that was an amazing team. I mean, he had first rounders all over that team. And he really wasn't that good on that team. So I just never saw it. And Mariota, let me tell you something. Mariota's going to do good this year. And I wish the Bucs would have drafted him, honestly.
Well, I mean, now hindsight's 20/20. People weren't saying that last year. And because he's been injury prone. And we had a hell of a game yesterday. I think it was 14-24, 248 and three picks.
I just want to update a couple of post-it note things. On April 18th, Pete said that the Bucs would have 10 wins. So they got 15 games. Also on the 18th, Pete, you had a great day, my man.
I remember the
Browns are going to give the Dolphins their largest beatdown of the season. The Ravens came into town and they threw a marker down on that and said, okay, 49's the number.
All right. Nice. Well, I still got a chance.
All right.
I think the Pats might give them. Might beat that number this weekend.
Let's squeeze in a couple more calls. 239-337. JT and a Kate wants to talk about the Colts who hung tough with the Chargers but fell short. What's up?
Hey, JT.
What's going on, fellas?
How are you?
Tough day for Adam Vinatieri.
Oh, man. Don't do that. Look, man. Look. I'm not going to hold you guys up because I'm driving right now, but just wanted to see how you guys are doing. But,
yeah.
the Colts did impress me. They did. Mm-hmm. I was shockingly impressed because I am a Colts fan, and once Andrew Luck said he's retiring, I was like, oh, shoot, my freaking Colts are going down the drain. But I was impressed. I will say this. I was impressed with the way Dorsett ran the quarterback position. He looked real good back there. Mm-hmm. And he got some mechanic issues that he needed to work on. But all in all, as a Colts fan, I was really excited about that. I wish we would have got the win, but, you know, it was a flip of the coin. That's all it is.
JT, well, I like that guy that got the Phillip Rivers interception with the one hand in the end zone. That was one of the sweetest defensive plays of the day.
Yeah, that was sweet. That was, and that, when he did that, I think that sparked, it sparked the whole thing. It sparked their run, and I was like, man, this, if they get the, I was watching the game. I was at work. Not really, but if they would have got that ball first, they would we would have had a different conversation. But, you know, I like it. I really do. I like what we got, and I can't wait. But I do want to ask you guys one question.
Yeah.
Miami trades Fields, and now he's to Houston.
Yeah.
Raiders got rid of Cook, and now he's on New Orleans. What do you guys think about that?
Well, first of all, let's start with
playing against each other tonight.
Yeah, they are.
Stills with Houston. I thought he was a throw-in on that deal. I don't think Houston was looking for a receiver. Again, I still think Steven Stills wanted to get. I think it's Steven Ross dump. Don't counter me because I hang out with Donald Trump. You got no business doing that.
Well, that too.
I think he wanted to get rid of the guy.
That too. But really, I mean, you could say it was a flip of the coin, but Matt Vinatieri missed two field goals and an extra point. I mean, that's.
Fell off the cliff. He's old. He's like 50 years old. It's time.
Not that much older than Tom Brady.
Well, that's happening too. Tom looked okay last night. What? I mean, he's not going to make it 16 games. In fact, history of the league, no 42-year-old has ever started a season and finished it. History of the league, 100 years.
Sticky sandwich.
You're going against history?
Well, yes. 99 years. This is the 100th.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
To be a stickler.
Sean in Port Charlotte, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Go ahead.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. Good day to you.
Yeah,
well,
you too.
I'm kind of laughing because all night long, all I see is a bunch of Patriots fans online. Oh, they're going to break the NFL scoring record. Look at this. When they get Antonio Brown, they're going to go 18-0 probably again and finish it this time. So I'm going to tell you this. I'm putting on my NFL Nostradamus hat here, and I'm going to give you a prediction here.
All right. Lay it on me.
So here's what's going to happen. Antonio Brown will be released from the team by week 7.
All right. That's possible.
Then by week 10, Josh Gordon is going to fall off the wagon and be suspended for some form of drugs or something.
Yes!
Both of those could, absolutely, both of those could happen.
By week 12, I say by week, somewhere in 9 to 12, but I'll say by week 12, Brady will suffer not only a season-ending injury, but a career-ender at this point due to his age.
Well, that's what
And they're going to go downhill quick. So all good things must come to an end. You can pin that and mark what I just said. And if I end up nailing those, I think I should get a guest spot in studio for a few minutes.
If you nail that trifecta, you're in here for a full day.
Except here's the other thing, though, too. They might be better than the 2007 team if everybody stays healthy.
Hold on.
Right now,
why do you gotta be a downer?
Look at their schedule and tell me where they're going to lose in the next 8 weeks.
Hold on. You really comparing a team that has one win to the 2007 Patriots?
I compare the 2010 team to the 2007 Patriots. I think that offense was as good.
Okay, there's another side of the ball. And that 2007 Patriots defense
was terrific.
Was fantastic.
And so is this team's.
Okay.
It's very good. I mean, it's very good.
I think that's a little irresponsible of you, Pete.
Irresponsible and quite a downer.
Don't you want me to say anything? It's irresponsible.
For what? The defense is good. The defense I know is going to be very good.
Speaking of being irresponsible, I'm way late, but I'm squeezing in. My man Otis from the Cape, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Otis.
Happy Monday. I'm going to simplify my Florida football thing. Professional sucks. College sucks. So we can go and we can get away from it. I've never seen the Dolphins get creamed so bad in all my days. It looked like a high school game.
Yeah.
I mean, guys were running wide open. Lamar Jackson threw 5 touchdowns. When the hell does that happen? I mean, I don't know.
Never, except last week. Yes, like, yeah.
And they got a few calls ago. I'd rather have Jameis than to have Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick is such a joke. I don't know what they're doing. I mean, I don't want anybody that's played for eight teams. That means he's got fired seven times. He's got fired.
Well, don't you think, wouldn't you rather see Josh Rosen now? I mean, there's no reason to play Fitzpatrick.
I would rather Rosen get out there and just leave him the whole entire season and let him play, let him learn. I mean, Peyton Manning played his whole rookie year, broke the interception record. By the end of the year, the last four games, he was starting to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. All right,
You know how that worked out.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Otis. I'm late. By the way, Josh Rosen left the worst team in football last year to go to the worst team in football this year. If you throw him out there to the wolves, I don't know what he's going to be able to prove or not. We'll continue to discuss that. Talk about the Jags quarterback options, among other things. We got some more games to cover. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app on a huge Monday.
Huge.
I mean, seriously. One of the biggest sports weekends I can ever remember.
Drama.
On and off the field.
We haven't even gotten to college football yet. I don't know if we ever will have time.
I know. I'm really disappointed because I want to give LSU the props that they deserve.
Well, it's not so much that. It's, all right, Florida beat UT Martin game you heard right here. Fine. No problem there. But what Florida State went through with Louisiana Monroe and my God, Tennessee. I mean, it was I watched all those games start to finish. I was out and about.
We'll get to all that. Anyway, We will. We're going to finish up. We promise you every team, every game of the NFL. And this is also your opportunity before your team gets eliminated from the playoff chase. 239-337 ESPN, 239-337-3776. Left it off with the Chiefs and the Jaguars. Of course, Patrick Mahomes. A lot of news involving the Jaguars, however, with injury. Nick Foles breaks his clavicle. This is their newly acquired quarterback for Philadelphia. He's out indefinitely. Had surgery today on the IR. And then they did acquire Josh Dobbs from the Steelers. He was their third stringer. So I don't know what good that's going to do. I really don't know what the Jaguars do for quarterback moving on. You got a pretty good defense, I thought.
What are you talking about?
The Chiefs
about?
Picked them apart yesterday.
Got Mike Leach's boy from Washington State.
Gardner Minshew.
The second.
Oh, is he the second?
Yeah. Says it on his jersey.
So that means he has a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if not, he'd just be junior.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Tyreek Hill got hurt, too. I don't know that people feel sorry for him.
No. Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, good on you, Jalen Ramsey, for falling on him a little hard out of bounds. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
You got banged up. I thought Mahomes was good. I thought there was that one point in that game, and it was after Foles went down, but not too much long after that, where Pat got sacked.
His ankle came up.
They were going to commercial, and he couldn't get up. And I was like, whoa. And then they didn't go to commercial. And then he limped over to the sideline.
Yeah, because that was the play where Miles Jack got ejected because there was a whole fight in the end zone, allowed time for Mahomes to go back to the training tent, get taped up, and come back in and not even miss a play.
Yeah, his whole ankle taped up. And then I think the next play through, did he throw a touchdown the next play?
I thought that play was I don't think so, but I'm not for sure on it.
I think three players got ejected yesterday around the league. It was a big ejection day, no doubt about that. Seahawks-Bengals is probably the least most talked about game. I really don't have much to add.
Since he jumped out to a lead there, was it 14-0? I think it was 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. I was looking at it kind of
They were up 3-0, so it couldn't have been
14-0. It was 17-0.
17-0, okay.
It was a 17-14. At the half.
Andy Dalton threw for 400 yards.
Threw 418 yards, 35 of 51, two touchdowns. That probably was the most surprising game of the day.
Yeah.
That the Bengals could keep it that close in Seattle.
Yep. I think we all talked a big game on our pigskin picks. We'll get to that later. I had higher hopes for the Giants to make it more interesting against the Cowboys.
Good grief, Dallas.
We had the same analysis with Cincinnati. I'm tired of overthinking. You see, you let the past come into to the present. That's the problem. And too many times, trends, we all get suckered in with these trendy things that have happened in the past, that this such and such as team is this record against that situation. Nah, just go by it.
What happened to Jason Witten's cleats? They have to cut them off. They got tangled with the defender, and they had to cut them off.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, like they had to lay there and wait for them to.
But this is
if
this is kind of like LSU in the college game, if the Cowboys' offense can spread it out and throw the ball around the yard like Dak did yesterday against the Giants.
Yep.
Like, watch out. They've got a really good defense that they can lean on. And this was the step that at least I needed to see to actually consider the Cowboys as a like a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
How many touches did Zeke get coming off all that delay?
But wait
nine
a second.
Carries, I think.
But wait a
nine
second.
Carries?
I need a little more sample size here because the Giants are one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Yes.
So I want a little more
but
sample
size. But if you're not going to do it against the Giants, you're not going to do it against the top-end defenses.
Well, Dak Prescott certainly got it. I mean, Jerry Jones said it after the game. He might even get his contract by the end of the week.
Jason in Naples, we love you, but we're done with Go Noles. I mean,
my man, you got to stop texting that in.
You
got to
tap the brakes,
sad right now.
Are you serious?
You're embarrassing yourself.
That kid doesn't miss the extra point. I don't even know if Taggart has a job today.
Taggart should not have a job
today. He shouldn't. Neither should Pruitt. They should buy
the seat is not hot. The seat is fully engulfed in flames. It's on fire. Everything's burning around you.
Yeah, it's bad.
Get out.
And my Hurricanes gave up a 4th-and-17 with a minute and 30 to go against North Carolina, ended up losing the game after a comeback.
All right.
Disappointing.
The last game on the board, my beloved Lions gave up an 18-point lead, got tied, went into overtime, tied. Kissed your sister.
Just 27 absolutely.
Against the worst team in the NFL and Kyler Murray in his first game ever.
I mean, I was.
Great passer rating in the fourth quarter and overtime for Kyler.
There was a play with about 2.5 minutes to go. Lions are 3rd-and-5. They convert it, game over.
Yep.
Matt Patricia calls a timeout. Or no, it wasn't Patricia. It was one of his offensive coordinator. Yep. Darren Bevel, I think, called I don't know. Somebody called a timeout with 2 seconds left on the play clock. You see Matt Stafford going, you guys got to trust me. I know how to get a dang snap off before the play clock goes up.
Yep.
And by the way, they ran the play and got the first down, but they called it back because there was the timeout. And then they didn't get the first down on the real play, and they had to get rid of the ball, and it cost them the game.
And
coaching mistake.
Kyler Murray was 15-19 for 154 yards and 2 touchdowns during the fourth quarter rally. Overall, 29-54, 308, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Again, 17-0. You got to put your foot on the gas pedal, Matt Patricia.
Well, his foot's injured right now.
Stop coaching not to lose.
Yeah, that was bad. That was
and Gase did the same thing.
Yep.
With the Jets.
All right, when we come back, don't forget, an hour from now, we got Wikipedia. Today's Adam Sandler's birthday, so we have Adam Sandler movie trivia.
That's what I heard this morning. And, when we come back, I mean, that USA-Mexico game on Friday night was just...
No.
I can't believe the U.S. laid down.
All right, I'm going to ignore him. No, we've got not one, not two, but three O.J. Simpson tweets over the weekend.
I don't know if Greg Berhalter's right for this job.
We're going to jam those in, and then at 4 o'clock, we'll recap our pigskin picks.
Uruguay on Tuesday night's going to tell us an awful lot.
Our drinking totals. You guys have got to remember how much you drank.
Yeah.
And we got some college football we got to get in. We still got to get into LSU and Texas and Clemson and A&M and all that other good
stuff.
Just
wasting a generational talent like Christian Pulisic. Wasting it.
All right, I'm done with you. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. On a loaded Monday, Pete.
Most turnovers since 2015. They just showed on NFL Live. Jameis Winston leading the way with 79, followed by Blake Bortles, 76.
That's a lot.
That's great company.
No.
So they were tied coming into the season?
Yep.
Wow. It's just bad. It's just bad.
It's pathetic. It's the same. Nothing has changed. Nothing.
No.
Byron Leftwich, Bruce Arians, nothing. It's the same old stuff. And against a team that tried to give you the game, that played poor, that didn't have 3 touchdowns taken away, the quarterback was not good, threw an interception, gave you every opportunity to win that game.
One thing I liked about being there in person yesterday is I could get a better feel for looking at the receivers downfield and all that. And not one time did I say to myself, wow, that was a good throw. Never. Everything's forced. Everything's jammed in there.
Well, and now
no fluidity to their game.
He's not comfortable with Bruce's offense. I'll tell you that right now.
It's a real question now. I mean, if Jameis isn't the answer, which there were people like me holding out hope that Bruce Arians could get in there and,
me too,
quote unquote,
and
fix Jameis Winston.
Byron Leftwich, both of us so far. I mean, it's game one.
Well, it's one game. Quick turnaround for game two on a Thursday night game on the road. So they're 0-2.
So if it's not Jameis, and let's say that this is another Bucs season, 5-11, 6-10,
right,
somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
Not good enough to be drafting top five. Like, does Bruce Arians stick around in Tampa? Because he's at an age where he's already said, I don't want to do the play calling anymore.
Right.
I'm too old for this.
Why is Bruce Arians here? There's one reason only, first and foremost.
What's that?
Who's the general manager?
Jason Light.
That's the only reason why he's here.
Because they're buddies.
And once they go 5-11 again, Light's going to get fired, and Bruce will retire.
Well, I'm playing it for, like, yeah. I don't think Bruce Arians wants to go through, like, building a new quarterback.
No.
I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree. I think he's here to see if Jameis is salvageable, and then if not, let's bring on the next guy. I think coaches get off on taking a new guy with no habits and molding him into their system.
He only considered coming to Tampa Bay because Light was the GM.
Well, are you saying Light's going to be fired this year?
Yeah. If they go 5-11, you're damn right he's going to get fired.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
GMs seem to survive all this stuff in football.
Well, normally GMs get two cracks at coaches.
And we just, okay, well, all right.
Yeah. Right, I mean, we're just coming off of Dirk Cotter. And now
he would have got fired. If they didn't get Arians, he's probably wouldn't get fired before the season started.
I was surprised that he survived last season.
He survived last season because he convinced the Glazer family that Arians was going to come. The only way he was going to come is if Light stayed on as GM.
Well, going to be interesting.
Yep.
All right, we got time for this. O.J. Simpson, since we left the airwaves on Friday, tweeted out three times. He spends a lot of time watching the games. I want to find out where this restaurant / sports bar is that he hangs out at.
It's a golf course.
Two of the three. Is it the clubhouse?
That's a clubhouse or a golf course. Yeah.
All right. Do you have them in chronological order?
Yeah, this is from September 7th. This is the first one I saw. So this is from September
7th. This is about A.B., I believe.
This is about A.B.
All right.
And the third time's a charm.
Let it rip.
Here we go.
Hey, Twitter world, what can I tell you? Antonio, look like you came out smelling like a rose. I don't think many people are pulling for you right now, but I'm not kicking you off my fantasy team, I can tell you that. But I hope you know that Belichick is not going to put up with none of the stuff that Tomlin, who may have started all of this, and Gruden put up with. I'm just saying, buddy, I don't think you can act like that in New England. Good luck. Take care.
All right. He knows what it's like to have not a lot of people rooting for you. All right.
Yeah.
Next, I believe this is the one at the end. He starts going off on the Dolphins front office, but it's a 40-second cut.
Yeah, this is a 21 hours ago.
All right.
Here's OJ. Let's let it rip. And this is like it's from his fantasy draft, but I don't know. Whatever. Here it is.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. Doing pretty good on opening day. I would be doing a little better if those coaches in Philly would have been giving Jordan Howard the ball a little more. The man having 7 yards a carry. You were trying to protect the lead at one point. Give the man the ball. Run that clock out. I want to say to Commissioner Goodell, you know, you're quick to find players. Don't you think maybe you should find management sometime, maybe the owners of Miami? Putting that product on the field? How could you do that to the fans of Miami?
Juice!
I'm just saying. Take care.
Find the Dolphins.
Yep.
All right, next, he really goes into Melvin Gordon giving him advice as well. Of course, he's holding out with the L.A. Chargers. Let's take a listen to this.
Yeah, ready. Here we go.
Hey, Zach Prescott. Seems to me you're saying pay me.
Zach Prescott?
Like hang on. I got to start that again.
Zach Prescott?
Here we go.
Hey, Zach Prescott.
Zach.
Seems to me you're saying pay me. And it looks like you may deserve it. Melvin Gordon, I told you earlier, you got to go to camp. This Eckler is kicking some butt. I don't think they want you in camp. And if you go, even with the fines, they'll probably still owe you $3 or $4 million. And I don't think they want to pay it. They just may release you like they did Antonio Brown. My point is, if you stay at home, nothing good for you is going to happen. If they play you when you get there, other teams are going to see just how good you are and that you can hold up. So, buddy, don't stay at home. Go to camp. I'm just saying, buddy. Take care.
I'm just saying. Advice from the Juice.
I was wondering, and he does all these things from a restaurant,
what a great
sports bar.
Sign-off line.
But
take care.
I'm wondering, like, all the people around him, sort of, not just his friend, like, are they afraid? Are they afraid?
It's a restaurant, and they have no knives, Pete. They only put out a fork and a spoon.
Yes, they're scared.
I'd be scared.
Very scared. He's always by himself.
Would you tell an alleged murderer how to act?
He's getting somebody to hold the camera for him.
Or would you be a yes man? I'd be a yes man.
Well, yeah, sure. No doubt. All right, 4 o'clock hour coming up. We got a lot to catch up on. Mm. Still got to scratch the surface on some college football. Run down our pigskin picks. U2's drinking totals over the weekend. We got to tally all that up. So we got a lot to do. Plus, it's Wikipedia before the hour's up. Sheeman and Shumpert on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.